Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. For those of you that might not be familiar with our church, we are a small independent Baptist church located in Forestdale, Missouri. Our pastor is Brother Wayne Reynolds, and our goal with the weekly radio broadcast is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and to proclaim God's promises to those that are saved. You know, we want to do all things in a way that will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know a little bit more about us and what we believe, then I would encourage you to check out our website at independencebaptist.org. Again, that website address is www.independencebaptist.org. From there, you're going to be able to find a lot of different books, articles, and audio sermons from our church. And the website also includes a section for all of our prior radio broadcasts. So if you've missed some, be sure and check them out on the website. Now for this morning's broadcast, we're continuing our extended series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we're coming down to a close of the series, and it's so interesting to see how Christ closed out his sermon with this idea of building on the rock or upon the sand. So before we run out of time, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds as he talks about the rock and the sand.
This morning's message will be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, as Jesus Christ continues to preach his Sermon on the Mount. In this part of the message, Jesus Christ is finalizing his message. He is preaching upon building upon the rock or upon the sand. It is impossible, Christ is saying here, to build upon both the rock and the sand. You will build upon either the rock, that is Christ, or you will build upon the sand, which is human thought. The Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." In this passage, notice the similarities between the person that's building the house upon the rock and the house upon the sand. Both of these build their lives, is what it's talking about, build their lives on either the rock or the sand. The rock, of course, is the rock of ages, Jesus Christ and his own precious word. The sand represents the shifting sand of this season, of this time, of this world. On both of these, the rain descends, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. But there is a difference in the house that's built upon the rock and the house that's built upon the sand. You see, the house that's built upon the rock does not fall. Rather, it stands true to the principles that God has established for it. But the house that's built upon the sand is the house that fell. Why? Because it is built upon the shifting morals, the shifting values, the shifting times of this present world. We need to build our house. We need to build our lives on the rock of ages. This is what the Bible is saying. Matthew 7 verse 24 begins with the word therefore. This word is speaking about all of the previous truths taught by Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the culminating thought of the entire message that Jesus Christ preached on that day. But who is Christ talking to? It is very obvious and very plain that Jesus Christ is speaking to people. He's speaking to people that follow him. He's speaking to people that want something out of life that's more than what they have. There's a multitude of people present. The Bible states in Matthew 5 and verse number 1 that Jesus Christ, seeing the multitudes, he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Jesus Christ wants you to listen to what he has to say. This group of people, contained both saved and lost people, no doubt. This group of people also contained people that were saved, people that were just beginning to learn what it meant to dedicate their lives to the Lord. Jesus Christ wants us all to receive from God what we need. This is the truth of it all. Notice another vitally important point that Jesus Christ makes here, that we cannot build upon both the sand and the rock. You can't do that. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 24, as Jesus Christ preaches this sermon on the mount, he says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And then Jesus Christ makes this very bold statement. He says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." That's the truth of it. We cannot serve both the world and God at the same time. You can't do it. Many people try that, but it does not work. We must do only what God wants us to do. You see, we must either serve God, that is, in the world and the world to come, or we'll serve this world. This is what the Bible is stating. Jesus Christ preached this message, and Jesus Christ says that some of them are wise and some of them are foolish. We all hear exactly the same message. Different people, though, hear different things out of every message, according to what their individual background is and what they need at that present time. You see, some people have a particular sin in their lives. Therefore, they wait through the entire message for some indication that the preacher is preaching to them about that particular sin. And that may not be what he's got on his mind at all. It probably is not what he's got on his mind. Some people have a particular question on their mind. Therefore, they wait through the entire message for some clue that will aid them in solving that question. But sometimes the preacher doesn't even indicate anything about the particular problem that the person has. You see, the Bible says that we all hear exactly the same thing, but sometimes we just listen for the wrong thing. We must hear the Word of God. We must listen to what God has to say, and not just for a particular thing that we think we need. We need to listen to what God is saying to us. Look, there is a choice to be made. We all have the responsibility and the authority to make decisions. We all do that. We all have to make a decision about what we're going to do with our lives. And what we're talking about, what Jesus Christ is talking about, is that you need to make a decision about what life you're going to live. If you're going to live the life for the Lord, or if you're going to live a life just for yourself. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, declared this. He made this choice. He said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." And then Joshua made this statement. He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It sounds like that Joshua had made the decision for himself. It sounds like that Joshua had decided that he's going to do what God wants him to do, period. This is what we need to do. Whatever God lays upon our heart to do, we need to do it and be satisfied with it. God can make our house to stand, or God can make our house to fall. It's according to what we do with whatever God wants us to do. You see, we need to build our house upon the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, and when the storms of life come, that house will stand. If you don't build your house upon the rock of ages, if you build your houses instead upon all the sand of this world, the hard times are going to come the same way. but your house will be destroyed in that day. The fact is, there will be some trouble in your life. You don't have to do anything to cause it to happen. Notice a bad choice. In Genesis 13 and verse number 11, here's a man that made a bad choice. Lot chose him all of the plain of Jordan. He saw that it was well watered. He saw that it was a place of good prosperity. He saw it was a good place to feed his animals there. The Bible says that he chose for himself all of that land. But he lost it all. You know why? Because that land had Sodom and Gomorrah in it, and that was the land of sinners. The Bible said that we need to choose what God wants us to choose. God will absolutely bless in ways we know not of. God can take care of that. Look, there's going to be some trouble in your life. Some believe that when we are saved, all of our trouble is over. They are sadly mistaken. Some believe that only lost people have trouble and trials. That is sadly wrong, because I know a lot of saved people that have a lot of trouble, a lot of trials in their life. I know that that is so. I know also that a lot of lost people have trouble and problems in their life. That is the way that it is. Some believe that any sign of trouble, either that the person is being chastised or that God is displeased with what they're trying to do. I don't think that trouble in a person's life is a sign of chastisement or that God is necessarily displeased with what that person is trying to do. I don't think that at all. I know some people believe that any sign of trouble means that God is chastising you or that God is displeased with you. It doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Look in the book of Matthew 7. The Bible said, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house." Notice that things happen in our lives. Things just come along. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. I remember one time, several years ago, there was a church member who came to church, and he had some scars on his face. I asked him what happened. Well, what happened, he was coming home from work, and he was in a vehicle accident where that a car run into the back of his car. He told me it was chastisement. I said, "Oh, what are you being chastised for?" I asked him. And he said he didn't know what he was being chastised for, but that's what he figured it was. Well, immediately, I just spoke up and I said, "Well, I don't think it's chastisement. If you don't know what you're being whipped for, I don't think God will do that." I mean, that's it. It could have been the other driver's fault. It could have been that God was chastising the other driver. I don't know what happened. You see, any kind of trouble doesn't mean that God is chastising you. It doesn't mean that at all. Troubles come in a life. That's the way it is. Troubles could come into our life simply because they come. Every trouble is not a sign that some kind of sin is upon us. Oh, listen, some trouble is a blessing in disguise. Think of that. Some trouble is actually a blessing in disguise. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible said that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. That's right. The Bible said that Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh. Was that trouble, chastisement? Or was it God wanting him to yield and listen to what he had to say? Well, I think that's what it was. I think it was not chastisement, but I believe that God wanted Paul to be interested in what he had to say. Do you think that every kind of trouble that the Apostle Paul faced was chastisement? Why, no, it wasn't. Sometimes Paul was troubled and beaten because he preached the gospel. Think of that. Now, in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 12 through verse number 13, Peter says this, "Brethren, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. This is a great thing. Peter said that don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. See, there's a lot of trouble that comes into all kinds of people's lives. That's the way it is. But sometimes God really intends for us to be yielded to him and to see and understand his greatness and his power. I remember one time that I was in a hospital with a child when it was just born. And this child was deformed. But the mom and dad said the baby had taught them more than anyone else had ever taught them. That happens. Understand that just because something goes wrong in your life doesn't mean that it's chastisement. It may mean that God has a blessing for you. Just be true to the Lord. I knew a man one time. He had a job. He had been employed for nearly 20 years, and he lost his job because of cutbacks in the company. He was very much depressed for a little while. But soon, this man discovered a very vital truth, that the company had laid him off so that he could start another company. And he did. This man started a company in Little Rock, Arkansas, and this man ran his own successful business, which he did until he retired. Think of this. Every person is building his house. This refers to your dwelling, more specifically to building your life or becoming the person you are. You see, there is no such thing as collective building because every person builds his own life, his way, and is personally responsible for his life. Every person faces great life-shattering difficulties in their life. Every person faces those. The storms come into every life. When the storms come, though, what will happen to your life? Are you anchored in Christ Jesus? This is the whole point of the message. Is your life anchored in Christ Jesus? Have you built your life upon the Bible, or are you building your life upon the false philosophy of this ever-changing world? Think of that. What are you building your life upon? Just because a person is a success doesn't mean that they're not building their life upon what God wants them to do. I have known personally several successful businessmen who live their life according to what God wanted them to live. One time, I was visiting with a man. I was taken into his study to wait until he could get home. And while I was in there, I picked up a pad of paper that was by his recliner. I was sitting in his recliner. I picked up the pad of paper, and on the pad of paper, it had a note about the things he wanted to change in his life. That's right. Had a note there. This was a godly man. I was much impressed by that very small note. There were several points that he had, things he could do to improve his life. I thought that is an honorable thing that a man could do. But this man had other troubles in his life. I knew he did because I was there to talk to him about those troubles. But there was that list. You see, why do storms come into our lives? I think so we can find out for sure whether the life we're building is upon the rock or upon the sand. I think that's a very important point. Storms come into our life so that we can understand what we're trusting in, whether we're trusting in what Christ has done for us or will do for us, or are we just simply relying upon everything that we can do. There's a lot of people that just live their lives trusting in what they can do. That's a tragic thing because one of these days they're going to be unable to do anything at all. The troubles and trials that come into our life are a blessing to us to show us whether we're building upon the rock, whether we're trusting in Christ, or whether we're trusting on the sand. Our life is simply a trial run for eternity. You see, if our beliefs Do not stand up under the storms of this life. They will certainly not stand up throughout all eternity. If we are trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ, we're trusting in the wrong thing. That's what the storms of life will teach us. That's what the troubles of life will teach us. Are you relying upon Jesus Christ and Him alone? Or are you trusting in everything else that this world has to offer? The only way any of us will be able to survive is when our lives are built upon the solid rock of ages that is Jesus Christ. He is the King. He is the one that's in charge. And we need to build our lives based upon Him and Him alone. Listen, there's going to be a crash in your life. There's going to be some things that happen to you that you don't want to happen. That's the way it is. But these crashes are meant by God to show you who you're really trusting in. To this point, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 14. The Bible said, "There is a vanity which is done under the sun, that there are just men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Yea, again, there be wicked men, to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I say that this is also vanity." Wicked people oftentimes can have confidence in temporary circumstances. The scriptures tell us in Psalms 73, verse 3 through 12, that some wicked people don't have any trouble at all. They live their lives, they forsake the Lord because they have no trouble. Don't be like that. Don't forsake the Lord. See, the Bible tells in the book of Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 14 that some just men, some righteous men, some good men have trouble in their life just like the wicked have. What's that for? It's to teach them that they need to trust God. But the Bible says, again, there is wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. There's wicked men that never have any trouble at all in their lives. Why? Sometimes that's very difficult to answer. But sometimes it's to tell us that are righteous, that we need to seek the face of the Lord and let the Lord have His way with us regardless of what happens to us. God wants us to be satisfied. God wants us to be happy with whatever He wants us to do. You see, in Psalms 9 and verse 17, there will be a time when the wicked will be turned into hell, and there will be no escape from that terrible place. The wicked will be turned into hell. All of those that forsake the Lord will be turned into a place of eternal torment. In Luke 16, the Bible says here that the rich man fared sumptuously every day, but this man died and went to hell. Understand what the Bible is saying here, that the rich man fared sumptuously every day, but at the end of his life, he died and went to hell. This ought to teach us that we ought to be true to God and true to what He wants us to be true to every day, because God is in charge of this entire world. He is the one that can save our eternal soul. Nobody else can. We can't save ourselves. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, 7, and verse 8, the Bible states here, there's coming a time when God will judge in flaming fire, and God will take vengeance on unbelievers. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, and verse number 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The important thing here is that we need to trust God regardless of what happens in this life. If we only trust God when things are going well, we are only fooling ourselves. We need to learn to trust God all the time. It may be that you're in trouble right now. It may be that trouble's come. It may be that you're in anguish right now. It may be you're in the hospital. I don't know your present situation. But I know this, that Jesus Christ knows what you're going through. He is well aware of every situation, of every circumstance. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse 6 through verse 9, if you are in a lot of trouble now, don't be overly concerned or anxious about it, but trust the Lord. Keep your eyes upon the Lord, and God will show you how the trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. Now read with me, please, in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. It may be that you have faced a lot of difficulty, a lot of trouble, and a lot of trials in your life. It may be that right now you're going through a lot of troubles and trials. But listen, don't be overly concerned or anxious about that. But you wait upon the Lord, because every life has floods. Every life has trouble in their life. But listen, the person that is trusting in Jesus Christ will not fail. This is the whole point that we ought to be considering, is that we need to trust Christ regardless of what happens to us. We need to believe in Christ and trust Him and just be true to Him, because He is the omnipotent God, and one of these days our life is going to be over. One of these days this is going to be done. All this sin and all this stuff we're going through right here, they'll all be over with. And then we'll have perfect peace and harmony and contentment with the Lord. But right now, we need to be faithful to God and be true to Him. So you understand the message that Jesus Christ really wants His listeners to hear. That is, that they have a life just like the life that you have. Jesus Christ wants them to build their life upon the rock of ages. Jesus Christ wants us today to build our lives based upon the rock of ages, not upon the sand that this world has. Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. Jesus Christ is the one that can give our lives stability. He is the sure foundation. But if you're building your life upon the sifting sands of this world, you will not have a stable lifetime. That's what the Bible is telling us. That's what Jesus Christ wants us to understand, is that He is the rock of ages, that He is the one that can save us. He's the one that can teach us the right way to live. We need to do what God says in His own holy word and follow that and be true to that. That may not be very popular, but it is the right way to live your life, the way God wants you to live it. God wants you to be filled with all the good things that He has for you, and God will certainly bless in all of those things.
You know, we do want to thank you, Brother Wayne, for bringing the message this morning, and we all look forward to next week's continuation of this message about building upon the rock or upon the sand. Now, as we come to the end of our time this morning, we do want to remind you once again about our services. We'll be meeting at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. The services will begin with Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by worship services at 11, and then in the afternoon, we're going to come together for a prayer meeting at 3:45, followed by evening worship services at 4:30. And then during the week, we'll also be meeting on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. So be sure and come by on Sundays or Wednesdays to visit with us. Now finally, we want to thank you for attending this morning, and we want to encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as we finish this series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.